Live from the ESPN Pensacola studios. It's the Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass. You could be a part of today's show by texting or calling at 850-623-1330. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
Well, you know, again, for us, I really loved our effort and a total buy-in. I mean, we had 14 skaters tonight. We're down two guys. Very difficult lineup to put against a veteran, seasoned, deep team like Huntsville. And I thought they all bought in, did a really good job. We had three new forwards in it. Literally just came in the last 24 hours, playing with five defensemen. We generated a ton of scoring chances, enough to win the game. But, you know, again, I go back to that second period. We had two two-on-one rushes. We don't shoot the puck, and this is our problem. This has been our Achilles heel, is that we don't have enough Kobe Bryant's, Michael Jordan's. We don't have enough that assassin killer mentality that you got to have when you get these opportunities. And what happens is when you don't take advantage of your scoring chances when you get them, things magnify when you do make a mistake.
And that right there, of course, the voice of Gary Graham, the head coach of your Pensacola Ice Flyers, following last night's tough 3-2 loss to the Huntsville Havoc there at the Hangar. Kind of become a Thanksgiving Eve tradition for the Ice Flyers to be at home the night before the big Turkey Day holiday. Welcome into the Glass Half Full. Yes, we are live here, the Glass Half Full, on this Thanksgiving Day. If you want to be a part of today's show, 850-623-1330. Again, 850-623-1330. Yeah, just a tough game last night for the Ice Flyers. Really did play well. They played better than they have throughout the season. I think last night might have been one of their better games at the Hangar so far on the season. But unfortunately, again, just come up short. Huntsville, the best team in the SPHL. So, you know, it's not like you lost to a team that you should have beaten. It's actually you had an opportunity to beat a team that you probably a lot of people would have been surprised if you would have beaten. So Huntsville, just, again, a really good team. But again, Corey Dennis coming out, tying it in the second period. I mean, early on in the second period, Huntsville, I think like with 45 seconds into the period, Huntsville scores a goal, and it's 1-0 Huntsville through most of the second period. Corey Dennis comes in and gets a nice assist from Greg Smith and ties it up at one apiece. So we go into the third period tied at one. Huntsville tacks on two early on in the third to take a 3-1 lead, and then Ivan Bondarenko. Bondo coming in with a big goal there to make it 3-2, set the Ice Flyers up with an opportunity to potentially win that game last night. But they pulled Rysop out of the goal with about a minute and a half left in the game, just trying to create that manned advantage goal, but just could not get it done. And unfortunately, the Ice Flyers drop another one at home. I believe their record now 2-10-1 on the year. Definitely not the start that the Ice Flyers or the Ice Flyer fans wanted for sure, but there's still a lot of hockey left to play, right? We still got, 4 months left in the season, so still plenty of time to get this thing turned around. And like I said, they played probably one of their best games at home last night in that game, despite the loss. And that's something that if, you know, you kept listening to the audio there from Coach Graham, he goes on to say, you know, I can't help, you know, sitting here being the last place team in the division, or excuse me, in the league, but seeing positive things that I'm starting to like. This team's kind of starting to turn that corner. So we'll keep an eye on what happens with the Ice Flyers moving forward. But again, a tough loss for them, 3-2 last night. It is the Glass Half Full right here on ESPN Pensacola. Happy Thanksgiving. You can be a part of today's show, 850-623-1330, 850-623-1330. We've got football all day for you right here on ESPN Pensacola. As a matter of fact, coming up right after this, we will have War Eagle Weekly. So they will take over and they will do 10 to 11 as per usual. And then right after them at 11, we roll right into it with the Bears and Lions. Then we'll have the Giants and Cowboys, and then we'll wrap it up tonight with the game that you can actually watch on, Peacock. It's streaming on Peacock, and it's going to be on NBC. The Dolphins heading into cold weather to talk about the Packers. We'll talk about how that could affect the Dolphins coming up a little later. But again, yeah, we've got a lot of great football happening all day here in the NFL. We've also got a pretty decent, a sneaky good college game in the AAC, all right? I know people are going to see AAC as the conference, and they're probably not going to really want to pay attention to it, but this is going to be a sneaky good game as Memphis is going to head to Nollins to take on Tulane. And this is, I mean, it's a battle of 2-9-2 teams that are sitting right there, kind of almost mirror imaging each other. Memphis kind of struggled toward, dropped a couple in the middle of the season. Tulane dropped theirs towards the beginning of the season. Tulane, oddly enough, I was surprised by this line. Tulane favored by 13.5 at home, which, to put that in perspective, in our NFL games today, our biggest line in our NFL games today is the Lions favored by 10 over the Bears. So there's not a lot of love being given to Memphis in this game. Not a lot of people expect Memphis to be able to go on the road to Tulane. But I'm telling you, man, watch out. This Memphis offense can score a lot of points. They're prolific. They're efficient. They don't turn the football over. This is the same Memphis team that went into Tallahassee earlier this year and beat Florida State. And look, I know Florida State's having a down year. They're 2-9. But still, anytime you're a team from the AAC and you can go into Tallahassee and come out with a win, that means you have to be a pretty good football team that is well coached. And that's exactly what this Memphis Tigers team is. And it's not going to be an easy cakewalk for Tulane. But it's a must-win for Tulane, because here's the thing with the Green Wave. They still have an outside shot at getting into the college football playoff, right? They're 9-2. They win this game. They'll finish 10-2 on the season. They'll play. Actually, they'll host the AAC championship game, because that's the way it works in the AAC. The highest-seeded team will host the conference championship game, so it'll be a home game for them. And if they win that and they get a little bit of help elsewhere, there's a chance that they could slide into the college football playoff, believe it or not. So Tulane has got everything in front of them, and they have to win this game. They really do. I think looking at this game, the key to this is going to be, can the Tulane defense, which is a good, solid defense, by the way, have only allowed an average of 9 points the last 3 or 4 weeks, really have been shutting down and limiting their opponents. Can they get pressure on Seth Hennigan, the talented quarterback for the Memphis Tigers, and one of the big reasons why they had that win in Tallahassee I was talking about a moment ago? Can they get pressure on him? Can they kind of put him under enough pressure to where he makes a mistake late in the game? Because I think that's what it's going to take to win this game for Tulane. I don't see Tulane going into this game and winning it by 2 touchdowns like Vegas has the line. I just don't. This offense for Memphis is too good. They're going to get theirs. They're going to score points. I think Tulane is going to have to force a mistake, force whether it's a turnover on downs, whether it's a punt, whether it's a interception or a fumble, whatever it may be, late into the second half. I think that is really going to be kind of what decides this ball game. But it should be a great game. I'm definitely looking forward to this one. And again, Tulane really has everything out in front of them with their college football playoff hopes. All they've got to do is win, get a little help from a couple of other games, and honestly and truthfully, the help they need is not crazy, right? South Carolina beating Clemson, Auburn beating Alabama. I think both of those things could legitimately happen, and we'll talk about the Iron Bowl coming up a little later on in today's show. I think both of those things could legitimately happen. They need help. I think the one thing that's going to keep them out of the playoffs is Boise State. And I know you go, well, yeah, because there's only one spot for – it's the highest-ranked G5 conference champion. So if Boise State is ranked higher than them, yeah, they're going to keep them out. Well, here's the reason why I think they're ranked higher, right, is because if you look at Memphis's schedule, Memphis, their only losses has been to Power 4 programs, right? Boise State, their only loss is to Power 4 programs. So both teams in this scenario here for that highest-ranked G5 spot have lost to Power 4 programs. The only difference here is that for Tulane, their losses have come to number 17 Kansas State, and is a 34-27 loss there, and then they lost to Oklahoma 34-19. Kansas State was 17th when they played in week 2. Oklahoma's was 15 in week 3 when those teams played. And of course, now we know that the rankings are sitting here, and Kansas State and Oklahoma both appear to be unranked right now and are unranked. So it kind of weakens those losses even more, especially when you look at Boise State, that other team that they would be playing against, who was their one loss in this season against. It's the number one team in the country, in the Oregon Ducks. Was it a 10-point loss? Was it a 20-point loss? No, it was a 3-point loss. 37-34 was the final of that game. Boise State actually had legitimate opportunities of knocking off Oregon, who at the time was ranked 7th in week 2. So they lost their games around the same time of the season, with Boise State losing to Oregon in week 2, and then Tulane losing their games in week 2 and 3 to Kansas State and Oklahoma. So they lost around the same time of the season. But I think the thing that's really going to kind of be the separator for the committee, even if Boise State somehow trips up, right? Let's say Boise State trips up and they end up losing to Oregon State this weekend, right? They're playing Oregon State this Saturday at 11 o'clock local time. Let's say they trip up and they lose that game. They're 10-2 on the year. I still feel like a 10-2 Boise State team with that 3-point loss to the number one team in the country is still going to get more favor from the committee than a Tulane team that lost week 2 and week 3. And I know what you're going to say. Well, what about the fact that they lost the last week of the season? Does that not hurt Boise State? Yes, it does hurt Boise State. But the thing about it is it's going to create a scenario to where Boise State's still going to get in as that highest-ranked G5 team. So that's the way it's going to be. I still think that they were going to look at this and they're going to match it up and they're going to say head-to-head, who would win this game? Boise State or Memphis? And with G5 teams, it's a little different when committees look at G5 teams than when they look at Power 4 teams. When they're looking at the Power 4 teams, right, when they're looking at Texas, when they're looking at Oregon, when they're looking at Ohio State, they're looking at quality wins, right? They are looking at quality wins. I almost think with the G5 teams, they have to look at quality losses. So if you're talking about a team that is lost back-to-back games to teams that are now unranked, that are right around 500 or worse, then you compare that to a team that is a one-loss team who lost week 2 by 3 to the team that's now the number one team in the country in the Oregon Ducks. Which of those G5 teams are you going to let in? You're going to go with Boise State. So I think the losses are really kind of going to be what decides whether Boise State or whether Memphis get in or not. Memphis still has a path, but I mean also at the same time, South Carolina still has a pass with 3 losses. Just because a team has a path doesn't mean it's going to happen, but I don't know. Who knows? Rivalry weekend is always crazy inside college football. Championship weekend is always crazy. So the top 12, the way it looks right now, the matchups that we have projected right now to be our college football playoff matchups could drastically change by the time we actually get to those rankings that actually matter and are going to be where teams are actually going to be seated. So we'll just have to find out what happens until that day comes, which is going to be in like another week and a half, I think. So not too far from that. It's the Glass Half Full right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. I am Jordan Glass. Thank you so much for tuning in. And happy Thanksgiving to you and your entire family. If you want to be a part of today's show, you can definitely do that. 850-623-1330. Again, it's 850-623-1330. Couple of NFL headlines before we head to our first break. Looks like Daniel Jones has signed with a new team. He is going to be a part of the Minnesota Vikings, signing a $375,000 pretty much practice squad contract. And the reason why it is a practice squad contract is really the Vikings don't need Daniel Jones, right? I mean, you've got J.J. McCarthy, who's out this year with an injury. You've got Sam Darnold, who's been doing a great job. Maybe you might be having him as kind of, you know, a possible backup if Sam Darnold, something happens to Sam Darnold for the rest of the season. But by keeping him on the practice squad, and I think this is a great thing that the Vikings did for Daniel Jones, by keeping him on the practice squad, it's going to open up the door to where if there is another team throughout the course of this season that needs a quarterback, he will have no restrictions on signing with them, right? So a practice squad player can sign to whatever team he wants to. There are no restrictions, right? So if they had brought him in and they had signed him to a one-year contract, things like that, he'd have been stuck in Minnesota if there'd been another team. They would have to have essentially just either not done anything or if we were before the trade deadline, make a trade to bring in Daniel Jones. But because they signed him to a practice squad contract, they don't have to spend a lot of money on him, right? They're only giving him $375,000 for the remainder of the season. But B, it leaves the door open for Daniel Jones to actually go to another team that could legitimately use some quarterback help. So I think it was smart. I think it was a good deal right there for both people involved. I think Daniel Jones is going to be able to kind of, you know, grow a little bit more, learn a little bit more, and gets out of a toxic situation, right? I mean, have you ever been in, like, a toxic relationship and you get out of it? And life just gets better, doesn't it? Life just gets so much better when you're not in that toxic situation. Whether it's a romantic relationship, a friendship, a job, whatever it may be, when you get away from it and you distance yourself from it, life just gets better. And I think that's what's going to happen with Daniel Jones. He's going to start getting a brighter outlook. He's going to start enjoying playing football more, right? Like he did when he was at Duke. He's going to start having fun playing football. And I think that's great for him because that's going to be part of the process that gets him back on track to being the guy that originally was drafted out of Duke by the New York Giants to be their franchise quarterback after Eli Manning retired. I still think Daniel Jones has something to offer an NFL team. But he's got to go to a place that's going to take care of him and it's going to treat him right first and foremost. And I think he did that by signing with the Minnesota Vikings. I think a sign of that is the fact that they signed him to that practice squad contract, leaving him open to actually go to another team if a need for a quarterback does arise. So I love that move right there with him signing with the Vikings. Kansas City, they are set to activate Isaiah Pacheco, and this is big for them, right? This is huge because Pacheco, obviously, he's been pretty much on IR throughout most of the season with a broken leg, and it's going to help this offense, right? You take a look at the offense for the Kansas City Chiefs. They've had to bring in guys like Hunt and DeAndre Hopkins and things like that to kind of, you know, keep up with the guys that have gone down, right? So Isaiah Pacheco goes out with a broken leg. They have to bring Hunt in to fill in that void. Rashee Rice goes out with a season-ending injury. They've got to bring DeAndre Hopkins in. So they've had to kind of create this mash unit to help fix with the injuries that they've had so far through the season. But now getting Isaiah Pacheco back, that is going to be big for them because now you have Pacheco and Hunt in the backfield. Right? And that's going to kind of keep them healthy through a game. Normally where Pacheco would get majority of the carries and he might kind of wear down towards the end of the game, just as you naturally would do, this is going to create a situation where Pacheco can stay a little bit more healthier because you do have a guy like Hunt that can come on the field and relieve him for a few plays. Or vice versa. You do have a guy like Pacheco who can come in and relieve Hunt for a few plays. So it's going to create it to where the Chiefs are going to have a fresh running game or a fresher running game, I should say, towards the end of the game than what they've had the past few weeks. That's going to help them immensely. Also, Isaiah Pacheco, one of those guys that you've got to keep an eye on. If he slips out of the backfield, you better keep an eye on him because he can take a pass 75, 80 yards to the house, right? You've got to keep an eye on a guy like Isaiah Pacheco for sure. So adding him back to this Kansas City Chiefs offense is it's going to be that's good news for the Chiefs for sure. I'm sure Patrick Mahomes very excited about that, and rightfully so. Chiefs fans should be excited too. All right, let's take our first time out. When we come back, we'll have more of the glass half full right after this on ESPN Pensacola.
Are you a business owner? Do you love sports? I bet your audience does too. What if I told you we could help you reach your audience while they're at a sporting event? Let ADX Digital help you connect to your audience. Call 850-262-6000 and build a digital campaign with us today. ADX Digital is locally owned and part of the ADX Communications family, inclusive of Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, and Pensacola's Playlist 94.5.
Mike Greenberg, weekdays right before the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
It's the glass half full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Be a part of today's show at 850-623-1330. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
Happy Thanksgiving and welcome back into the glass half full right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM, 922 here at ESPN Pensacola. Definitely appreciate you being part of today's show. I want to kind of get into some college football news now. Looks like Deion Sanders fully expects his two big stars, Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter, to play if they get into a bowl game. He said that those guys, he expects the whole team to be a part of it and all the senior class to go out strong together in a bowl game. And I think it's a great idea. I like the fact that they, and I know they're probably going to be pick number one and pick number two in the NFL draft. If not that, they'll be, you know, pick number one and maybe pick number three or pick number four. They're going to be taken inside the top five. Both of them will. And I know a lot of people are going to be like, well, what's the point of them doing it? You know, what if they get hurt? You know, it could help their hurt their draft stock. And here's been my argument to this all along, because I've always been one of the fans that have absolutely hated the idea of players sitting out a bowl game simply because, well, what if we get hurt? Why should we play in a bowl game if we have a risk of getting hurt? What's the you know, incentive for us to play in this game? The fact of the matter is, your incentive is to go out there and finish your college career. To go out there and play with your teammates one last time. Especially now in the day of NIL. I mean, when you sign that NIL deal, technically that's signing a contract. You got to play that game. That's part of what they're paying you for. It's to play in that game. And that could be something we see down in the line added to NIL to kind of help curb this, you know, epidemic that we've seen in college football the last few years of players just deciding not to play in a bowl game. Put it in their contract to their NIL deal that, hey, you've got to play in the bowl game. If you play it in the season, you got to stick around and play in the bowl game. Because again, going back to the whole argument of, well, what if I get injured? I would rather take this time and go train for the NFL and work on that than possibly go practice and play in a bowl game and get injured and tear an ACL. Well, here's the thing. You've got just as much chance of tearing an ACL in a game as you do doing cone drills at some training facility somewhere in Santa Barbara or South Beach, wherever you decide to train at. You've got just enough as much of a chance of tearing your ACL or breaking a leg or breaking an ankle doing all those training drills and training exercises than you would if you went and played in the game. So if the risk is still there, no matter whether you're training or playing in a bowl game, why not go support your teammates, help out your team, go get a win, close out the season strong, then worry about the NFL? The potential for an injury is still there, and it will still be there, no matter whether you're training, practicing, or working out. You can tear something in your shoulder lifting weights. You can break your ankle stepping off of a curb. Ask me how I know. I've got a brace on my ankle right now because of it. The risk doesn't diminish just because you play in a, or don't play in a bowl game. It just shifts over to something else. Risk is always there. So I say play in the bowl game. So I love the fact that it seems like Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders both will play in the bowl game for Colorado no matter where they go and who they're playing. And I can respect it. I definitely can respect it. It's the Glass Half Full here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. I'm Jordan Glass. Thank you so much for tuning in and happy Thanksgiving. If you want to be a part of today's show, 850-623-1330. Again, it's 850-623-1330. Want to stick with college football now, because obviously we've got the Iron Bowl coming up this weekend, and tensions in that game just continue to grow throughout the week as teams are doing what they do best this time of year, and that's dealing out the trash talk about their in-state rival. As a matter of fact, got started in this game on Monday as Auburn freshman linebacker DeMarcus Reddick come out and said that Ryan Williams, the talented freshman receiver for Alabama, said he's no big-time game player. He's no big-time player. We're not worried about Ryan Williams. And then when Jalen Milroe yesterday was asked about the comments by Reddick, Jalen Milroe hit him with the Thanos, the "I don't even know who you are." I mean, that's cold right there. And Jalen's just like, yeah, I don't know who he is, but good for him, I guess. You know, talking, running his mouth. He said, look, Jalen went on to say, talking is part of the Iron Bowl. It's part of it. but it also comes down to who's going to execute in this game, which is a very valid point, a very, very valid point. But then it also brings up what teams are we getting in this year's Iron Bowl, right? Are we getting the Auburn team that beat Texas A&M last week in overtime? Are we getting the Alabama team that struggled on the road against Vandy and then on the road against Oklahoma? Are we getting the Alabama team that blew out LSU on the road? What Auburn team or like what Auburn and what Alabama team are we getting in this? Because I'm going to tell you right now, if it's LSU, Bama, and it's Texas A&M, Auburn, we are in for a heck of a ball game. I think another thing to keep an eye on in this game for these two teams is really, honestly, and truthfully, can Auburn outscore Alabama? Because that's going to be how they win this game. They outscored A&M a week ago. So they've got to find a way to outscore Bama again because that defense was abysmal for them last week, right? Especially in the second half heading into overtime. First half of that game against Texas A&M, they looked lights out, right? Auburn had the big lead heading into the half. Looked like maybe Auburn might run away with it, but Texas A&M makes adjustments at halftime. It seemingly didn't look like Auburn made any kind of adjustments at halftime. And that defense just could not, as Nick Saban likes to say, they could not stop you-know-what through a tin can, right? It just running through them like that through a tin can. So Auburn, if their defense can't bow up, if their defense is not getting stops on Jalen Milroe, if they're not creating turnovers and penalties and mistakes like what we saw last week against Oklahoma for Alabama, Auburn's offense going to have to step up. It's going to have to play big for them. Going to have to outscore the Crimson Tide for sure if they want a chance at winning this game. I think it's going to be a little bit closer than most people expect it to be. I think Auburn actually does have a legitimate shot, and that's what I was referring to earlier in today's show. Of course, you're listening to The Glass Half Full right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. What I was referring to earlier in the show is talking about how Tulane needed some help. Part of that help is Auburn beating Alabama. Is it far-fetched? No. Is Alabama the better team? Yeah. But it's still not far-fetched for Auburn to be able to knock off this Alabama team because this Alabama team is just not as good as they've been the last few years. And even still with the last few years, let's not forget about how last year's Iron Bowl went in Auburn, right? So I think Auburn does still have a legitimate shot because of multiple reasons. A, it's a rivalry game. Throw out the record. It doesn't matter. But also B, this Alabama team is a little bit more vulnerable this year than they have been in the past. Right? Their weaknesses are a little bit more of an issue for them than they have been in the past. Look, no Alabama team under Nick Saban was perfect, right? They all had warts. They all had issues. They all had things that they could have done better. But it didn't keep them from winning the games. And that's the difference in between that Alabama team and this Alabama team, is that those warts, those negative things that they have done have kept them from winning football games this year. And that's why we're talking about an Alabama team who is 8-3 on the season. So if Alabama is playing on point, I think the best bet for Auburn to win this game is to outscore Alabama, if they can do that. It is definitely going to be a big test for them on the road in Bryant-Denny Stadium. I think it's going to be a good game, though. I am definitely looking forward to this, and obviously we'll break it down more on Friday's Glass Half Full right here on ESPN Pensacola. As far as some other news from around the SEC, not really news here. I just wanted to kind of take a look at the conference and see what coaches could potentially be on the hot seat. You know, we're getting to that time of year, right? It's Sunday. You're going to see a lot of coaches. Their name's going to come across the wire that they're being fired. You're going to get those You're going to get those ESPN app alerts. You're going to get those that are saying this coach is fired, that coach is fired. We've already heard about Mack Brown this week, how he's going to be allowed to coach North Carolina State, and then he's fired. He's done after that. Talked about that on yesterday's show. I still feel like they should have given him the opportunity to retire rather than just firing him. But that's their prerogative. It's their team. They're going to do it how they want to. But as far as some of the coaches in the SEC that are on the hot seat, I'm going to start with Mark Stoops at Kentucky. I think Mark Stoops at Kentucky is on the hot seat. 4-7 on the season. They are 1-7 in the SEC. They legitimately thought that this was going to be one of those years where Kentucky was actually going to have an opportunity at winning a conference championship, or at least pursuing a conference championship. The fact that they are 4-7 overall, 1-7 in the conference, is not anywhere remotely close to where they wanted to be this time of the season. Their big wins on the season, or just really their wins in general on the season, Southern Miss, Ohio, Ole Miss, and Murray State. So you've got three lower-level division football programs that you honestly and truthfully should have beat. And then you've got Ole Miss, who was, let's be honest, Ole Miss. That Ole Miss game was a little bit of a fluke of a game. Jackson Dart did not play well in that game. Ole Miss did not play well in that game. And that opened the door, and that led to Mark Stoops and the Kentucky Wildcats actually coming up with a decent win there. But that has been their only, like, marquee win so far on the season. They are, like I said, 4-7, and have a lot of Kentucky fans already heading over to Rupp Arena to get involved with basketball season. So that kind of tells you where they're at there in Kentucky. Their losses on the season for the Wildcats: South Carolina, Georgia, Vandy, Florida, Auburn, Tennessee, and Texas. The South Carolina, Florida, and Texas game, all blowouts. And, you know, just one of those things to where I think if you continue to look at where they're at, they're in Lexington. I think it's going to be about time for a new move. I think Mark Stoops has taken this team as far as they can go. They are not going to be a national title contender. They are not going to be in an SEC championship game with Mark Stoops as their head coach. And I think the head officials at Kentucky are starting to see that. And because they're starting to see that, that's why I have Mark Stoops on this hot list. Also on the hot list, as we are talking about SEC coaches who are on the hot seat here on the Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. How about Sam Pittman at Arkansas? Look, Sam Pittman's done a fairly decent job at Arkansas. I'm not going to sit here and, you know, say he's done a great job, but he hasn't done a terrible job, right? The thing about Sam Pittman, really and honestly, truthfully, is he just can't get it done. He's just not the right guy in place that they need to be the head coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks. Their biggest wins this year: Arkansas, Pine Bluff, UAB, Auburn, Tennessee, Mississippi State, and Louisiana Tech. That Tennessee win was massive for them early on in the year. The losses for Tennessee on the season: Oklahoma State, Texas A&M, LSU, Ole Miss, and Texas. I didn't leave anybody off. I got them right there. I said Texas. So Texas is that last team, the most recent loss of the Razorbacks. And I just, for Sam Pittman, again, good guy, good coach. The job just may be a little too big for him, right? There are some coaches who are meant more to be a coach in the Sun Belt or, you know, the AAC than in the SEC. And I just feel like that's Sam Pittman, right? I feel like Sam Pittman fits in better at a smaller conference, at a smaller school, perhaps at the G5 level. We'll see what happens. But I think definitely right now, Sam Pittman and Mark Stoops definitely on the hot seat right now inside the SEC. I think Clark Lea is safe with the year they're having there at Vandy. I don't think anybody's going to really talk about his job. Lebby over at Mississippi State, it's year one for him. Nobody's going to push him or pressure him right now. They understand that he's building a foundation. It's going to be rough. It's not going to be pretty. So I think that they'll be pretty patient with him there in Starkville. And then Brent Venables. Brent Venables has already gotten the vote of confidence for next year from the not only athletic director, but president of the University of Oklahoma as well. And, I mean, obviously you look at the way they played last week against Alabama, starting to kind of turn that corner and play a lot better brand of football on both sides of the ball. So I think Brent Venables probably safe as well. Let's take a timeout. When we come back, we'll switch gears and talk about some of our NFL games that you can catch right here on ESPN Pensacola. It's coming up next, right after this.
Paul Feinbaum on weekday afternoons after the Rich Eisen Show, 2-6 on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
It's the Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Be a part of today's show at 850-623-1330. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
We'll be right back. Thanksgiving. Welcome back in into the glass half full right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM, 941 here on this Thanksgiving morning. And, of course, if you want to be a part of today's show, you can definitely do that. 850-623-1330. Text or call 850-623-1330. Getting back into it now, some of the games that we have going on today that you can hear right here on ESPN Pensacola. As a matter of fact, we've got the John Madden triple header for you with Westwood 1. It is going to get started at 11 o'clock with the Bears and the Lions. And this is a game that Lions, as I mentioned earlier in the show, favored by 10 in this game by Vegas. The thing about the Lions, though, is they've not had a lot of success on games played on holidays. They've lost the last 7 in a row, right? If you play it on Christmas Day or Thanksgiving Day, which they tend to play on Thanksgiving, it's kind of like a tradition that the Lions and the Cowboys both play on Thanksgiving Day. And the Lions have actually lost the last 7 in a row. So they're going to look to turn that around. They've got a great opportunity at doing that. They are, 10-1 on the season, taking on the Chicago Bears. This is one of those games where, honestly and truthfully, the Lions are just the better team when you look at it on paper. But when has it ever matched up to what we've seen on paper in the NFL, especially on a Thanksgiving Day? This is always one of those topsy-turvy. I talked a little earlier about how in college football, rivalry weekend, the last weekend of the season, and then conference championship weekend is always a crazy and wild weekend in college football. This is kind of that week for the NFL, right? And it gets started with all of these games we have coming up later on today. But again, for the Bears and the Lions in this one, Caleb Williams has been getting better every week, but especially the last couple of weeks, arguably had his best game of his career this past Sunday in the loss against the Vikings. Just unfortunately could not get it done there in overtime. But again, I think for Caleb Williams, just kind of continue to improve, continue to get better at being an NFL quarterback, right? It's not necessarily just about the wins and losses. Yes, that does matter. But you also want to continue to grow. You want to continue to develop. You want to understand how to prepare and how to be able to go out there and win football games inside the NFL. And I think that, he just needs to continue to stay the course of what he's doing between the time the game is over on a Sunday and that next game. Everything he's doing, whether it's watching film, whether it's training, whether it's recovery, whatever it is, practicing, he needs to continue to improve and get better at doing those things as well. And that's just going to make him a better professional quarterback. So very interesting to see how Caleb Williams is going to fare tonight, early on this afternoon against this Detroit Lions defense. And it should be a good one. On the flip side of this, the Bears defense, they are mediocre at best against the run, currently ranked 20th in stopping the run in the NFL out of 32 teams. So not very good against the run. They are going to put themselves up against a very good rushing attack in the Detroit Lions, who have at least one rushing touchdown in the last 25 straight games. That is impressive, right? Sometimes it's hard to do that in the NFL. So you couple that impressive feat with the fact that Jared Goff's been playing the way that he has. I mean, Jared Goff this year, just it's incredible to see this guy go out in the first half and he'll be 18 of 18 for over 200 yards and a couple of touchdowns. And then he just continues to add to that in the second half. And he ends up having a QBR rating that's just sky high through the roof. And it's just been something he's done consistently all through the season this year. And I saw them talking earlier on ESPN, I believe it was on First Take. They were talking about Tua, and they said, Dan Orlovsky said that Tua, there is no other quarterback inside the NFL that means more to their team than Tua. I'd have to respectfully disagree with Dan Orlovsky on that. I think Jared Goff means more to this Detroit Lions team than Tua does to Miami. Don't get me wrong. Tua is needed in Miami. The Dolphins need him in Miami to be successful and to win football games. But this Detroit Lions team is not 10-1 if Jared Goff is not the starting quarterback. He's the leader of this team. He is the guy that they are building this team around and continue to build this team around. And I think it's very important that he is on the field for them. And when he does electric things, right? So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing this matchup. Can the Bears stop the rushing attack for the Lions? And can they put pressure and slow down Jared Goff, right? Can they force him to make some mistakes? Because that's been his MO so far this season, and a big reason why they're 10-1 is that he comes out, he's got his hair on fire, and he's just completing passes left and right. Was it 3 or 4 times now he's had a complete perfect first half throwing the football? You got to be able to put pressure on Jared Goff and slow him down if you want any chance at beating the Detroit Lions. That is for sure. It's the glass half full right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. If you want to be a part of today's show, 850-623-1330. Again, it's 850-623-1330. Our second game of the day that you can hear right here on ESPN Pensacola is going to be the Giants on the road at the Cowboys. And this is, look, Cooper Rush played better last week against the Commanders. I think he might have kind of developed a little bit of a rhythm and kind of gotten back into it after, you know, sitting out for so long, and then Dak Prescott goes out with the injury. Now he's getting pushed back into it. Took him kind of a couple of weeks to knock that rust off, but he's back. He's ready to go, and played pretty good last week on the road in Washington. I expect him to continue to get better. I expect him to play pretty well this week. He's going to have CeeDee Lamb. He's going to have all of his weapons there on the offensive side of the ball. The big question is the sunshine. Will the sunshine affect the Dallas Cowboys again? Hopefully it doesn't. I mean, you would think in your own stadium you would know where the sunshine is. That's even something Jerry Jones said. You know, it's our stadium. We should know where the sun is. We should be able to adjust and play according to those conditions. But for the Giants on the other side of the ball, the Giants are just a train wreck right now. And I had to put the palm of my hand on my forehead to talk about the Giants so I wouldn't get a headache. They're a terrible football team. They're a terrible organization right now. And now it looks like Tommy DeVito not even going to be able to go for them in this game. Drew Lock going to get the start instead. And it's, you know, you look at this and you go, well, you know, Tommy DeVito can't go. If only you had somebody who was a quarterback with, you know, experience as a starter for you there in New York against the Dallas Cowboys. Oh, wait, you had him and you just kicked him off the team for no other reason than just not wanting to deal with his contract in the future. The Giants, the front office for the Giants, and I'm not going to sit here and harp and get on my soapbox about this again. The front office for the Giants is just a miserable mess right now. It is just, I think they need to have a fire sale. Everybody must go. I think that they've just got to get rid of everybody across the board, because I think that's what's needed. Sometimes that's what's needed. Whether it's a baseball team, whether it's football, whether it's basketball, sometimes you got to completely clear across the board to get better. And the Giants are in that situation right now. You got a GM who's not committed to winning. You need to get one in there that is. You got a head coach that I don't think can win. You need to get one in there that can. You've got to find your franchise quarterback. You're going to have an opportunity to with a top 5 pick in the draft coming up in early summer in May. So you've got to make these moves now because you are set up with a great opportunity, right? The Giants are set up with a great opportunity to go get a GM, go get a head coach, or get somebody that can do both. We talked on yesterday's show about Bill Belichick. Give him the GM responsibilities as well as being the head coach, right? Let him go pick and choose the players and deal with all of that stuff. You've got a great opportunity now if you're the New York Giants to go and fix that. Get you a GM that's committed to winning. Get a head coach that can win. And then use your top 5 pick to go out and get a quarterback that is going to be your next franchise quarterback. I'm going to tell you right now, if they don't make any changes, if this GM is still the GM when we hit the draft, if Brian Daboll is still their head coach, they're going to make the wrong move. They're going to draft the wrong player, and it's going to set them back even more. If you're the Giants, you have to make this move now. You have to clean house now. There is no tomorrow. You got to do it today. It's the glass half full, ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Real quick before we go to break, Dolphins on the road against the Packers. Packers really only favored by 3.5, so that tells me Vegas expects a close game because usually the home team will get, if it's a close game, if it's a 50-50 toss-up game for Vegas, the home team will get that 3-point boost, and that's just a being at home, you automatically get those 3 points. So 3.5-point favorite there for the Packers in this game. It's going to be very interesting to see this Miami team play in the cold. Very inconsistent in the cold, more so favoring not playing well in cold weather. They have had a couple of games. There was one a year or two ago against the Buffalo Bills around Christmas where they actually went up there, played in the snow, played pretty well, should have won that game, but didn't come out with the win. And then the rest of the time, they've just been pretty abysmal in the cold weather. So that's going to be the talking point tonight in this game. Can the Miami Dolphins come into a cold environment and play well and win the game? We'll have to see. I really think it's going to come down to, can the Miami Dolphins stop the rushing attack from the Packers? They have given up, Miami's given up about 107 yards per game. You cannot do that against this Green Bay Packers team and expect to win the football game. You just can't do it. No way. We'll take our final timeout of the show. When we come back, we'll wrap things up right here on the Glass Half Full, the Thanksgiving edition of the Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola.
Saturday in college play, the University of Michigan Wolverines clash with the Ohio State Buckeyes at 10:30 a.m. on ESPN Pensacola.
It's the Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
Wrapping things up here on a Thanksgiving Thursday. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your entire family. Special shout out to Ronald. He texted in here saying happy Thanksgiving, and he's excited to eat. Yes, Ronald, I'm looking forward to that as well. Stretchy pants will be needed later today from all the food that I will definitely be consuming over at the Glass household. Welcome back into the Glass Half Full. I am Jordan Glass. If you want to be a part of the last couple of minutes of today's show, hey, you can do that. 850-623-1330. Again, it's 850-623-1330. Running through some of the headlines from around the world of sports with your headline roundup. Daniel Jones signs a practice squad contract with the Minnesota Vikings, so he'll get $375,000 from them to pretty much be on their practice squad, and that's going to open up the opportunity for him to sign with another team. So if there's another team, let's say Jameis Winston goes down with an injury for the Cleveland Browns, not trying to speak it into existence, but let's say it does, he's out for the rest of the season, the Browns could then go and sign Daniel Jones off of the Vikings practice squad. So I love the move there by signing him to the practice squad. It still opens things up and allows the opportunity for him to be able to sign to another team, and then he'll still become a free agent at the end of this season so he can pick wherever he wants to go then. DeMarcus Robinson for the LA Rams. Remember yesterday on the headline roundup, we talked about how he was arrested for a suspicion of driving under the influence. He is actually planning on playing this Sunday. Looks like they will play him against the New Orleans Saints. I guess that's still kind of under investigation, so they're going to wait on any kind of suspension or punishment for him until the final results of that investigation comes out. Again, it was not a DUI, but it was a driving with a suspicion of driving under the influence. So we'll see what happens there. Looks like the Raiders are going to be starting O'Connell at quarterback, so no Gardner Minshew for the Raiders tomorrow. They're going to be playing in the Amazon Prime Black Friday game, and of course that is definitely going to be an interesting matchup between the Raiders and the Chiefs. Antonio Pierce talking about it, said, look, it's the battle between the best and the worst in the NFL. And right now, we understand the way it is. We're going to go out there and try to beat them, though, just like they did Christmas Day a year ago. And by the way, you can hear that game between the Raiders and the Chiefs tomorrow right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. And a game that you'll hear a little later on this afternoon, the Giants and Cowboys. No Tommy DeVito at the quarterback position. They're going to be going with Drew Lock instead. So Tommy DeVito out for the Giants. Drew Lock will be in. So it'll be Cooper Rush and Drew Lock, your quarterback battle there in that game. And, of course, all the games you can hear right here on ESPN Pensacola this afternoon. Bears and Lions will get started at 11 o'clock, coming up right after War Eagle Weekly. Giants and Cowboys will get started following that. And then we'll wrap it up tonight with the Dolphins on the road against the Packers. Can Tua, can Tyreek, can all of those guys go into cold weather and win. I don't think there's really issue with Tyreek, right? Tyreek's played at Kansas City. He's played in cold weather before. But the rest of that Miami Dolphins team, that is definitely a narrative that Tua and those guys are definitely going to look to squash tonight against a pretty good Green Bay Packers team at 9-3 on the season. That is going to do it for today's show. Hey, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for making me part of your Thanksgiving morning. I hope you have a fantastic Thanksgiving day. Plenty of food, family, and football in your future today. And I will talk to you tomorrow with more of the Glass Half Full War Eagle Weekly. It's coming up next right here on ESPN Pensacola.